Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thank you so much for joining us here on the program. We come your way every Sunday, from 7 a.m. and p.m. Mondays at 1 a.m. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, and we encourage you to go to the link to our guests' websites. We'll be giving you that web address in just a moment so that you can find out what they have to offer. And we deal in many different subjects, and of course, health and wellness is one of them, and we're going to be dealing with a very, very specific area, but it's also very broad, and we're also very pleased to have as our guest on the line. He is the author of what I find a most fascinating a piece of work that is available to you, and we encourage you to investigate it. It has to do with water. And, of course, in California in particular, in the southwestern part of the United States, we're dealing with a drought that is going on 4 years, and other parts of the world as well. This is not unusual on this planet that certain areas will have this happen. And I'm going to either supported or corrected by my guest in regards to this theory that there is more than enough water on the planet, and even fresh water, if we would just avail ourselves of it. Brian David Anderson is our guest, and I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the program with you with your conversation about super hydrate and charge your cells for youth, energy, and vitality. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
So, a couple of things. First of all, water is, I'll say euphemistically speaking, it's the lifeblood of not just human beings, but of most growing things on the planet. Animals, plants, humans, etc. And without it, we wouldn't exist. And it's a rather unique substance, I guess, in that sense. And what I find interesting also is that you talk an awful lot about distilled water, but the way that you describe getting it, it sounds to me just like water. If I was to collect rainwater, for the most part, based upon the way you describe this process, that's kind of distilled water. If you can get it dropping through an area where you don't have a lot of pollutants in the air, certainly. From your perspective, my comments aside, how important is water?
Well, basically, again, as you mentioned, the planet is nurtured by a huge distillation system. And the difference between the distilleries that humans make and what nature does is nature pulls the vapors up, and as it's pulling the vapors up, it's leaving all, per se, when I say contaminant, the only thing that it's pulling up mostly is hydrogen and oxygen. And so then that is now in a vapor form, and then through electrical processes, they recondense up in the upper atmosphere, and then as they condense, that becomes your raindrop. And what drops on your car hood, it spreads out. It holds itself together. But if you take that water that comes out of a distiller, human-made distiller, and you drop that drop on the car hood, it beads up. It breaks apart. And that's very, very important, because then that water is seeking some sort of structure. And when you drink distilled water out of a distiller, basically, it's going to find structure, and that's why, again, where it finds its structure is literally from the minerals out of your body. So that's where, again, I've heard this argument back and forth now for almost 25 years, is distilled water is the very best and it's the very worst. Well, both persons that take that position are 50% wrong and 50% right. So that 50% that is right is that, yes, distilled water is very good as long as it's structured. When it's not structured, then you have some problems, because that distilled water that is unstructured is like a newborn baby. It's looking for structure, and it will pull it from anything. It can pull it from glass. It will pull it from steel. If you leave it there long enough, it will pull literally various types of chemical elements to organize itself. So the ideal thing to do is that we have a distiller, human-made, but then we have a means by which we can then structure that water So it's very much equal of that of rainwater. And that's what has been the goal for a long time. It started off with me as there was a person by the name of Pat Flanagan. He had a thing called crystal energy, and he structured his energy with his drops called this crystal energy. But it turns out that these drops aren't as well as per se as advertised. They actually have some surfactants in them, some soaps, and which were not known. There was after some skullduggery type of scientific analysis, they found that there's Trinitron X in it. But this was many years after I'd used the product. But then when I was using the product, it cost a whole lot of money to put in your distilled water, but I did some flower tests with it, and I actually drank it, and I felt better, that type of thing. But a long-term type of thing, or surfactants, that's still an unknown type of thing. So my first off, my goal then was to create a technology that could be a one-time type of purchase, be inexpensive, and then basically it would structure any type of liquid. It doesn't have to be distilled water. It can be wine. It can be tap water. It can be any type of liquid will then be structured by this unique type of what I want to call subtle energy technology. And I accomplished that in the late or the early 1990s, and then now it's gone far beyond anything that I ever can imagine. When you now take the Trivortex technology, and it's very, very inexpensive, and literally then placing the technology near any type of liquid, it's what's called sympathetic resonance. The Trivortex products have a certain type of energy that's emanating out from them. And when a liquid comes in contact with them, whether it be in your body or in a glass or in a swimming pool or any type of container, it literally then goes into sympathetic resonance. Most water is now what they call molecular chaos. And so when you bring that molecular chaos into more coherent structure, then you're going to have better absorption. What is always amazing to me is that people care more about their gas tank than they do about their own body.
Mm-hmm.
If you were driving a Ferrari, would you put regular gasoline into that Ferrari? You couldn't even think about that. I mean, that would be ridiculous. It would ruin the engine. Yet, at the same time, what I consider is that our bodies are even more sophisticated than any Ferrari that's ever been made or any type of high-performance race engine or anything, is that we are very, very high production type of biological vehicles, much more sophisticated than any Ferrari, and yet we put all of this regular type of fuel into our bodies. And so basically is now to try to bring that water, that fuel, into the highest coherent molecular structure possible, so that basically then absorption could take place. There was a team of medical doctors and scientists in the late 1990s, all traditionally trained, and they discovered that there is a phosphorus-based sheath around every human, animal, and plant. And what's really fascinating about these membranes is they really got down to the microscopes, and they could literally see these spiral patterns in the membranes themselves. It is my contention is that when a chemical element or a compound comes close to a cell, all that's picked up is just strictly the light particles off the molecules. And that's what the phosphorus does. Phosphorus picks up light particles and then will retransmit them. So that's when you have a phosphorescent type of property, and then the light hits it, and then you bring it into another room, and it transforms those light particles into other wavelengths. Well, that same thing happens at our cellular level in our bodies. Literally, the phosphorus sheaths are taking wavelengths of light particles and then letting them come through the membrane and then reassembling them inside of the cell. And this is almost getting like Twilight Zone type of thing, because literally you have a reality inside of your cell and then there's a reality outside of your cell. And so as when those two become disproportionate, they become imbalanced, that is the basis for disease. It's the basis for low energy, mental processes not working properly, etc. So to me, the most ideal type of way of transmitting water across this phosphorus sheath is you have it as pure as possible. That's why distilled. You have hydrogen and oxygen, and you have very minimal of any other types of chemical elements there. And that's what distilled is. Basically, distilled water has a few other chemical elements in it, but if it's a really good distiller or in the clouds is basically almost pure. It's 99% pure. We still have not duplicated the purity of the clouds, what it can do in the atmosphere. We're still lagging behind on that, but there's still a few chemical elements. But basically then, for maximum absorption, we have distilled water that can pass then through that membrane. And there are two things we need. Number one, we need molecular cohesion to get through that phosphorus sheath. And then basically we also need the purity. So it's all about structure and purity to flow through that phosphorus sheath. The whole thing about pH has really been overblown over the years. Understand that distilled water will then, its pH is almost at a neutral point. And when it comes into your body, it meets your own pH level. That's the beauty of distilled water, is that no matter what pH that you might be, when that distilled water comes in, it automatically goes to your level. So rather than drinking tap water or filtered water or even distilled water that has a lot of these now alkaline additives, which now forces an alkaline level that is maybe not yours, it's either too low or too high or whatever, you don't need any of those additives when you're drinking pure structured distilled water because the pH will automatically go to that level. Now, distilled water cannot be many times secured by a lot of people. And so, or they just basically, they don't want to take the time. And so, basically, you can have your choices are a distiller, or you can then go to the store and buy distilled water. I always recommend you degas it, though, for 24 hours first in a glass or stainless steel container. And then you can put the Trivortex, what is called the Trivortex disc, underneath, and basically structures it. But now, if you have any other types of waters, I'm just addressing, when I say distilled water, I'm addressing those persons who want to keep their Ferrari and to keep this high engine, this biological life entity at its maximum performance. And it takes time. It takes an effort. It takes you're going to need to make some sort of effort to bring distilled water in your life.
Yeah,
now, for those that maybe not have the time, then okay, there's still other types of waters, and the Trivortex technology will also work on them. In that booklet you were talking about, I put the 10 waters, what I call the 10 best waters, and at the very top of the list is distilled water, changed by the Trivortex disc, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. And then the 10th one, the very bottom of the whole list, is distilled water that has not been changed. And every other water in between there, filtered to any reverse osmosis, it doesn't matter. It's all inside in that area there. So no matter what water you are drinking, what is called the Trivortex disc, it's a 3-inch type of technology. It sounds like science fiction. It's been put into the Trivortex treatment chamber, and it goes in there for 24 hours. It's electromagnetic fields, and it's also a graphics that it's exposed to for 24 hours. And when it comes out, it has all of these unique characteristics. A picture of the Trivortex treatment chamber is up on the Trivortex website. That's Trivortex.com. And so the whole thing is about treating anything that goes into this treatment chamber. When it comes out, it has this ability of creating this subtle energy field around it. It's emanating this subtle energy field, a liquid or even a solid. You can it's amazing the difference of this 3-inch disc, and you put either some wine or some juice or some water or even coffee, and I don't promote the drinking of coffee, but you also take a piece of orange, or you would take a chocolate or fish or something of the sort and put that on the disc, and it's amazing the difference between the taste. And why is that so important? Why, when you drink something or you eat something, it doesn't have a very pungent type of smell or taste? And again, that's what what's very important here is our bodies, again, have this certain molecular type of structure, and you then introduce something to it that does not have that same structure, it's going to give you this tangy type of afterbite. This is where we've been kind of corrupted. Humans have been corrupted. They think that when they get this real tangy bite in their drinking or even in their food and that type of thing, you have this afterbite, that's really good. Well, it's not. What's happening is the body is telling you, that's the very first defense or first piece of information the body tells you nonverbally, that, hey, this liquid, this solid, whatever it might be, I am going to have problems to absorb this. The smoother that taste, the better that I can absorb. And sometimes, a lot of times, people will drink water, and basically they will not absorb anything because of such molecular chaos. A real classic example of this was, this was now 6 or 7 years ago, a dentist gave me a call out of Florida. We ended up not meeting one another, but we had a mutual friend. He had pancreatic cancer, and his tumor on his pancreas went from 2 millimeters all the way up to 25 in a matter of 2 weeks. He was jaundiced. He had all the major symptoms of pancreatic cancer, and was pretty much now his diagnosis was not very good, and his prognosis was very bad. And so he started calling various people, and he heard about me, and he said, okay, if this was you, what would you do? And I said, well, the first thing I would do is I'd get my Trivortex disc, and then I would put it under some distilled water, making sure it's been degassed before. If it's been in a bottle, I'd degass it for 24 hours first. Then I would drink a quart of water in the morning. Then the rest of the day, I would try to fill that out and at least 3/4 to 1 gallon of water that I would be drinking constantly. Basically, what we're trying to do here is to flush the body out with structured water. And I said the second thing I would do is go out and have emotional counseling. And everybody's issues in their tissues and their biographies, their biology type of mentality. And I said those would be the two things. And so that's all I suggested to him. And so the next day he called me back and he said, I called all over the world. And he said, your sound's the most simplest. I'm going to try yours. And so he purchased one of these Trivortex discs. They cost $75. For the basic model, the more advanced model is $115. And so he now started doing this regimen. And because he was a dentist, he was able to push his doctors a little bit more. And so he got more CAT scans. And lo and behold, here goes this big tumor at 25 millimeters, goes down to 19, goes to 17, goes to 12, goes to 4. Finally, it got down to 2 millimeters. And during this time also, he is now his jaundice has gone totally away. He has a lot more energy. About 30 days after his doing this water treatment, he gets back out on the tennis court. He's basically normal. He's gone all the way back to normal. And then he calls me up and he says, hey, I'm going to have to go in for this operation. I said, wait a minute. What are you saying? He said, well, I promised my doctor and my wife that if it wasn't totally gone in 45 to 60 days, that I would go ahead and have this operation. And I said, but you're totally normal. Can we give us a little bit longer? And he said, no. He said, I promised. And so then they went in and they did what's called a Whipple, and they take out part of the duodenum, stomach, and that's what is called the cancerous part of that tumor of the pancreas. And when they did the biopsy on the tumor, it was benign.
Wow.
And so he actually then, the tragedy on this whole thing was he actually died from the operation, and he had a real emotional crash because his life was never the same after the operation. So basically, this is a real dramatic way of illustrating how important water can be and the value of what Trivortex. And again, as I said, I'm promoting here the whole thing of those persons who want to treat their bodies like Ferraris. Mm-hmm. That's why I was promoting the distilled water. But again, sometimes that is just it's just impossible to do. And so, but it doesn't matter whatever water you're drinking, whatever you're doing, is that that's where the Trivortex disc. It's a 3-inch type of disc. There's two models. There is a stainless steel, that's $75, and that's like the Volkswagen. And then we have the gold-plated stainless steel, and that's what we consider then your Cadillac or Mercedes. And it performs better, and that's $115. So we try to meet somebody everywhere in their budget range, mm-hmm. say. So then also one of the side benefits of the disc also is that when it comes to pain, is that pain many times, again, is molecular chaos. So if you're having a pain in the body and you bring molecular structure to it, many times you can have pain relief. And we have numerous, numerous stories over the years now, and they build every day about how pain has been relieved by the disc. And that's quite amazing. One of the things you also can do is to take the disc and throw it into a bathtub and then fill the bathtub up and put a little bit of salt. You can only put anywhere from a pinch all the way up to a cup, just whatever. And it could be Epsom salt, the Dead Sea salt, even table salt. And the salt becomes an extension of the disc. So if you can imagine, your whole body is just now being immersed into the disc. And I'm 63 years old now. I played full court basketball until I was 62. And this was with 20-year-olds, and running up and down the court. And every time that after I got finished playing, I would throw the disc into the bathtub, and I would soak. And even being the inventor of this and the discoverer of it, it's just amazing. When I come out, all of that lactic acid, everything is all gone. It's just totally amazing. So a friend of my mother's had a robotic operation on her ovary. And the robot took some of the muscle tissue and put it back onto the bone. And it was supposed to be extremely painful after the operation. So they gave her a major thing of Vicodin for her pain. And she never filled the prescription. She had already used the disc a little bit before on some of her pain. And before the operation, she put the disc where she knew that they were going to do this attachment. Then immediately after the operation, she then put it on again and had no pain whatsoever. So again, it's also a versatile type of thing. Besides just water, it also does, the disc does a lot of other things too. I had a guy call me. And he said, "Hey, I'm a welder," and he put the disc on his welding rod. It was an electric welder, arc welder, and he did a bead with the disc attached and a bead without, and it was amazing the difference between the two, of how the other one had such a beautiful pattern, the other one was all chaotic, and the tensile strength between the two of them was quite different. So also on the Trivortex webpage, we have the what's called the research page. And there have been numerous persons in both Australia and in South Africa that they have done testings, and it's also been done here in the United States, where we basically treat waters and then put them on various types of plants, either an individual plant or an entire crop and field, where the water has been treated and another part of the field or the plant has not been treated, and just watch them grow. That was one of the very first experiments done with Trivortex. You just take, and it's something persons can do themselves. It's one of the neat things that when you buy the disc is you can get distilled water is what I recommend to do, and put one flower into untreated distilled water, just into a glass, making sure the disc has been not anywhere near that water. Then take a glass of water that's been on the disc and put the flower in there, and then separate them about maybe 4 or 5 feet just so that they don't contaminate one another. And then just let them go. After you put the disc on for, say, 3 minutes, and then take the disc away, and then just watch watch the flowers, and there's many examples of this up on the website. You can, this is again a neat experiment that a person can do themselves and just watch the difference between the two flowers. The one that's untreated, normally what happens, and it has to be distilled water, not ionized water, but distilled water, is that basically the untreated will basically die off in 4 or 5 days, and then the treated water will go huge, bloom, and magnificent thing for 18, 20 days. And that's why we also can say that why we know also is that we put distilled the worst and the best. We've also done other testings where we've done all different types of waters and done the, did the same flower test, and always the distilled water that had that was changed by the trivortex always had the longest life, and it also had the biggest bloom. Mm-hmm. And then the worst one was the distilled water that was untreated. So again, basically there's lots of neat things that you can do with the trivortex disc experiments. Lady yeah. called me up and said, hey, I'll put my cosmetics on it and it lasts a lot longer. So again, it's all about hydration. I feel very confident when I say that 95% of all diseases are due to improper water hydration. And as I said, even like the guy that I was talking about that was the dentist, it's a very important point here I forgot to make on the dentist that had the pancreatic cancer. One of the first things he told me when he called me, he said, yeah, I said, I'm drinking a lot of water. He said, I drink a whole bunch of water all the time. And I said, is it bottled water? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, that's, you know, part of your problem. He was not absorbing his water even as much as he was drinking. And he, I said, he's drinking like, probably 3 or 4 quarts a day, or, maybe 16-ounce bottles or whatever. But he felt that he was drinking a lot. But, again, it wasn't absorbing. Water can either just pass right through you, and, again, that's the old regular gasoline, like in the Ferrari, mm-hmm. or you can have a high-performance type of fuel, i.e. a changed and it has molecular structure, and it's going to absorb and get through that phosphorus sheath and into the cell.
Very interesting information that you're providing us with. As a matter of fact, I wanted to add to that by letting people know that this is information that's available in this little booklet, that 50 to 75% of the world's population is chronically dehydrated. And if North America wanted to be first in something, guess what? North America is first when it comes to being dehydrated. And 37% of the population, the thirst mechanism is so weak that it is often mistaken for hunger. And even mild dehydration will slow down one's metabolism as much as 3%. Well, one of the things I have to say, Brian, is that, and again, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a biologist. It's more theorizing and, of course, information that I gather, especially through these programs. Our human body is like a filter. And if there isn't enough fluid, i.e. water, that is usable by the body, and in this case, as you're describing, distilled water, the proper distilled water, then the heavier elements in the body that are toxic cannot be filtered out, and so they build up in certain pockets of the body, whether it be the liver or the pancreas or the prostate, etc., on infinitum. And of course, then we get the various diseases, and we have to have surgeries to have those things removed. Whereas if we, and I would venture that before the, let's say the pre-civilizations prior to the Industrial Revolution on this planet, that was all that was available was distilled water, because it hadn't yet been, shall we say, contaminated. Rainwater is ideal. And if we, it's like people have been talking here on the Central Coast about, El Nino and getting a lot of rain. But how many people have taken it upon themselves to put together any kind of a collector to preserve that water? That's ideal. I mean, I still remember, Brian, back a few years back, we had chickens at one time, and this was before the drought began. And I had this large metal pan, I think it was stainless steel, it was sitting out, and we had turkeys that roamed the property that we live on. And the day that I came home, it was pouring rain, and I just happened to go out to the area where this big stainless steel pan was, and it was full of rainwater, just overflowing. And I had always heard that rainwater was really good. So I figured, what the heck? And I picked that pan up and I just started drinking from it. And it was the most incredible feeling, as well as taste, that I can ever remember.
That's where people say about the same thing now, the water that comes out of a distiller, and you leave it on the disc for 30 seconds to 3 minutes, and you have that very same silky, if you remember, it was like a silky thing. It was it was so smooth.
Oh, it was incredible.
Like it was gliding down your body.
And a lot of people also make the claim that we're running out of fresh water. And I listen to that, and I'm going, we don't have to. We're choosing to. I saw a design for a water collection device off the shores of, I want to say Denmark. It was the Netherlands. And it was this, you remember the plastic rings that they used to make to hold the six packs of soda together? Maybe they still make them. I don't buy sodas anymore, so I don't know. Well, this particular design was only four of these big rings that were all connected. And in each of the rings, and this was large, this wasn't, like the size of this. We're talking about 60, 80, maybe 100 feet across each of these rings, was a giant clear dome. And they would put it out over the water, out into the ocean, if you will, off the shores. And, of course, the sunlight would generate heat, which generated evaporation and condensation on the interior of this dome, this bubble, if you will. And it would then drip down the sides of the dome into a trough to a central pipe and then was basically pumped, if you will. Maybe they used a gravity feed to put it into storage containers. And I thought, that's
basically what we're talking
about.
Yeah,
that's drinking water.
What they did is they created their own little atmosphere.
Exactly. But see, that's what the planet...
That's what's happening on a large scale
exactly.
on the Earth.
And I know that when I proposed this, people say, like here in Santa Barbara, for example, everybody's concerned about their view. And I said, well, then take it on the other side of the Channel Islands. You don't have to leave it in one spot. People also say, well, yeah, but you get a bunch of these, you're going to end up with a lot of minerals still left in the ocean. The ocean is really big, and the process is ongoing. But
how do they figure that they're going to get the minerals?
Well,
what that atmosphere is doing is creating its own vapor. The water, per se, is, yes, it's coming from, nature already does that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At a much larger scale.
Yeah.
So
that's why when I see...
The amount of minerals that's taking out is minute.
Yeah. And I know that...
That's a very poor argument.
I would agree with you. And I said the same thing. The other thing, too, was that, I understand that this is the natural process of the Earth, but every time I see storms out over the ocean, I always think, oh, what a perfectly good waste of fresh water. You took it up, and then you're just putting it right back where you got it from in a matter of speaking.
Well, understand, there are places now in communities and states that collecting rainwater is illegal. You can actually go to jail for it.
Oh, wow. I had not heard that. That is bizarre. That is
that's how they know that how valuable this whole thing is.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's one of those aspects. And as I was reading this pamphlet that you've put out, the key for me that I was reading here was you want water that is containing three and only three molecules, two of oxygen. I beg your pardon, two of hydrogen and one of oxygen. That is all that should be there. And that's what you get from rainwater. And that's what you get, I'm sure, from the processes through the Trivortex discs. But you have other materials as well that you provide. You have these rings. There's a type of toothbrush also that.
Well, it's also one of the subjects you brought up earlier. And I think it's important here, is mm-hmm. those persons that are taking any type of vitamins, remember that we have not, the practice of taking vitamins has only been something for the 20th century.
Yeah.
That's when it started.
Yeah.
And so you're putting ground up rocks in your body.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do that, you need to do a lot of hydration. tremendous amount of hydration.
But then you also mentioned
collecting the kidneys and bladder and
prostate,
et cetera.
But you also mentioned in the pamphlet about this phosphoric layer, this sheath, that some of this stuff, even if you did drink lots of water, it's not going to get through. And that, so you
exactly.
need to get that through the foods that you eat. And
that's true, yes.
Yeah. And
put
so now you
right
have,
out of my mouth.
Yeah. So now you have to seek out high quality foods. And I still I guess the best way to get high quality foods is to grow your own, because then you know for certain, you know, what's gone into it. Because I still and my wife is very much into buying only organic. But maybe this is the cynic or skeptic in me, a label can be put on anything. And they've done that over the last century. They've done that. They've put labels on anything to say whatever they want to tell you that, yeah, this is what's in here. When in fact, then when the thing is researched in the laboratory, it's like, no, that's not what's in here, but this is in there. So get away from labels. Grow your own if you can. Collect your own rainwater. Or in the case of what we're talking about here today, of course, the Trivortex disc or other items that are available. And again, the website is trivortex.com, TRIVORTX. And we certainly encourage you to check that out. We're going to come back and talk more about this with my guest. He is a fascinating gentleman, and we're going to continue discussing with Brian David Anderson here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, and stay tuned.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. We're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. You know, we're talking with Brian David Anderson, and we're talking about this, this not only just the special devices and things of this nature through trivortex.com, but we're talking about water, the lifeblood, if you will, of our civilization, of our existence here on the planet, and also of the animals and the plants, and that without it, well, as we've kind of noticed here on the Central Coast in California over the last 4 years, that things are drying up and they decay, they blow, you know, they turn back into the dirt of the ground, but dirt can't do anything if there's no water to facilitate the growth of the plants and the animals that we need to survive. And so we're discussing that process. And I have to say that I have been, we happen to, not that I think this matters based upon, again, what I've read, we happen to be on a well where we live. We're not hooked up to the municipal water system. And from my perspective, Brian, I trust the well water more than I do municipality water, just because it's coming from the waters that have been filtered through the earth. And hopefully, if people haven't been doing funny things around the well, this is good stuff. And yet there are minerals in it from the ground as it's pumped out. But at the same time,
it depends on whether you now want to take the effort then to buy a distiller and go ahead and distill that. I mean, that's basically individual choice for everybody. And for myself, no matter what my source is, mm-hmm. I buy distilled water. But if I were to do any type of thing, I would then, if I couldn't buy it, I would then have a distiller. That's my own personal thing.
Yeah, but I think
that doesn't mean that.
But I think, too, that we need to make very clear here that there's a big difference between one of the processes that is talked about when there are issues with water. There's a big difference between boiling your water to make it safe and distilling it. And the difference is a level of heat that is used, correct?
Correct.
Primarily. I mean, when you have the sunlight hitting the, let's say, the ocean's surface of water, causing that evaporation, we're not talking boiling there. So, you know, this is one of the processes.
The earth is a low temperature distillation system.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason why is that we have still high temperature. And there was a gentleman out of Escondido, California, that came up with a low temperature distillation system. It never really took off.
Mm-hmm.
I was part of that project for a while. And for some reason, we just couldn't get it off the ground. But there are distillation systems that use low temperature that can duplicate what the sky does, but again, it's all about trying to make your water pure And if you, I'm going to just emphasize again, if you cannot do the distilled, then, you know, then something reverse osmosis. If you're going to do reverse osmosis, make sure you're right on top of your filters at all time, because all it takes is for the lake to turn over, which happens constantly all the time. All this junk cart comes at your filtration systems and just knocks it out in a matter of 24 hours.
Right.
So, you know, this basically is just be prudent about it. Stay away from tap water. Tap water is nothing you should be even contemplating. And it's like with yourself, if you have a well, then that's much, much better than anything of municipality.
Would you agree that there is both an abundance of water on the planet, but that there is a finite amount? In other words, there's always been exactly the same amount of water on Earth for, let's just say, for the sake of argument, for the last, I'm going to say 10,000 years. There's never been any more or any less of the liquid in all of its various forms on this planet.
That makes a perfect sense. You're basically transformation. That's where the old E equals MC squared. Nothing ever dies. It just transforms.
Mm-hmm.
And it's constantly there in some sort of state. And that same amount has always been here, but it's always going from vapor, then back, and it's solid, and it's ice, and all sorts of different types of things. And so, yes, I do agree with you that the amount of water probably for the past 10 to 20,000 years has been at a certain level, and far more than anything we ever need.
And that even in spite of our, I don't know if I want to say conscious or unconscious efforts to pollute it, we can, through the process of distillation, we can purify the water. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah. Oh, very much so. Yeah. It's basically, it's all you're doing is creating a little bit of heat, where then the water, the literally what you're doing is you take it from that H2O state into more of a vapor state. As it goes into that vapor, it leaves all the contaminants behind, including, you know, and then just has that hydrogen oxygen as much as possible, and then it recondenses and becomes that droplet coming down. Now that is a pure water. And nature does it, and we do it in distillers. That's basically what we're talking about.
Okay, and what about the areas of the planet? And, of course, the one that comes to my mind right now is I think it's Yellowstone National Park, where you have the geysers, you have these heated pools, we have the steam coming up. Is that close to it, or is that too? Is that heat too much? It's not really doing the same kind of job.
That would be way, way too hot.
Okay. Okay.
But again, also what I've always heard over the years in the research has been that many of our continents float on big, huge aquifers. Underneath us is a tremendous amount of water.
Mm-hmm. So there.
And so we've not tapped into.
Now, closer to the surface, we have water tables and so forth, and we tend to pull the water out of there. And when I hear the stories about sinkholes around the country, if not around the world, I'm thinking, well, there was something underneath the earth that just fell through, and it was probably either some of the petroleum, or maybe it was water that's been removed for, several decades. I mean, eventually, you open that thing up, it's a big hole. And
the gas, which is your fracking,
or gas,
your oil, or your basic water. And so,
I mean, it just makes sense to me in thinking of these things that, like, you need to think a little bit ahead. Now, if you're if you're drilling down into a well, in a manner of speaking, you are doing the same kind of thing because you're removing the liquids from that pocket. And unless you replace those liquids with something else, that pocket is going to collapse one day. The potential is at least there. That's why I'm thinking that taking the waters that we have from the surface rather than digging down is certainly safer as far as our land masses and our living spaces and going through this process of distillation. I don't know if you're aware, we have a... we have going online here probably in the next, if I'm correct, 6 months or so here in Santa Barbara, we have a desalinization plant that is going into operation. Tell me, what is the difference in that context between that and distillation? Are they doing, do you think they're going to be doing distillation?
No, they're doing, as far as I know, they're doing reverse osmosis.
Okay.
Nobody is doing any type of, quote, distillation.
So they're just filtering the water.
That was what we were trying to promote, both a small and large low-temperature distillation,
mm-hmm.
and just basically the forces that be and the political forces the reverse osmosis, which, again, that's going to be interesting because you're always having to stay on top of all those filters for reverse osmosis, and it's going to be very tedious and very expensive, to do it in a reverse osmosis way. Had they chosen to do the low-temperature type of way, you actually could also then, believe it or not, you could have generated energy off of it. Electrical energy literally would be one of the byproducts, which you're not going to get in reverse osmosis.
Right. I actually was trying to also figure out how they were able to extract the salt from the salt water from the oceans, you know, for the purposes of seasonings, what have you. And I thought, well, maybe it's the same general process. Maybe you got to hit the right temperature or something. I don't know what the process is.
Yeah, no, it's totally where I think, as far as I know, I think there's a desalinization going also in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And again, both of those, the Santa Barbara and the San Diego sites, are basically all reverse osmosis. They were the ones, reverse osmosis persons promoting that. Basically, they got the political ear more than others did.
Yeah.
And so that's where the money went, was within it. How much of that also had to do, you know, with greasing politicians, that type of thing. So it's going to be interesting over the next 10 years of how these reverse osmosis systems will actually function. And we'll really see is then, because they've never done the scale before, the maintenance of it.
Yeah. If you're interested in getting more information about what we're talking about, it is trivortex.com. That's TRIVORTEX. That's TRIVORTEX.com. Find out more about both Brian David Anderson, as well as not only the Trivortex disc and other items that they have available that have been infused, if you will, with these energies. I'm curious, too, in that regard, as to these energies we're discussing here. Certainly, you've talked a lot about the benefits, the effects, if you will, of the disc, for example, on the water, and how then it helps an individual and their health and so forth. It seems to me that there are other types of energy infused items, if you will. My wife has a couple of other types of these energetic types of things that she kind of believes in. And I mean, everybody's kind of doing this kind of thing. There's sort of a bandwagon, if you will. How did you, or how have you avoided, so to speak, getting on that bandwagon in terms of separating yourself from these other modalities, we'll call them?
Well, basically, yes, I try to do as much research as possible. And again, we look at the results that are generated in the on the research page. I've yet to see any of the other products that claim to do subtle energy for water have the research page that we have out there. And plus also the numerous testimonials that have been stated over the years. So I just go back on the track record that we have, and when it's compared to other products, nobody has the track record of Trivortex.
I have to tell you that I just came across, I'm hoping that this is some kind of satire, but the headline or the line in the email is, "Drink more soda to end buzzing in your ears." Okay, I would actually say, yes, you can do that. But the problem is that the side effect is death.
Yeah, that's where, again, also like this great thing about a guy I wrote about coffee, and he said it'll do these benefits, but it'll kill you. And you know, listed this next benefit, and the next line was, but it will kill you. And because, you know, is that I'm not very much, when it goes comes to coffee, I think it's one of the most dehydrating things that you can do. The only thing that's equal to it is nicotine, smoking.
Yeah.
Those are the two big things that once you have nicotine and caffeine in your body, you're behind the eight ball. You really, really have to super hydrate to stay on the other side, because that always is a constant dehydrator.
Mm. So you have been using this technology, I'll call it, for how long? 10, 15, 20 years? What's the how long have you been?
Yeah, it all started in 1988. That's when I discovered it in the
So almost 30 years.
Yeah. So we're coming up. Yeah.
You're.
Seems like yesterday.
Yeah.
But basically, it's. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I wanted to ask you how have you ever gone back and sort of reflected on the pre Brian David Anderson and compared him to the present as to not just your physical health and your mental health, but even emotional and even your spiritual health, your spiritual direction in life?
Well, that's for sure. I was a journalist by training. I went to University of Missouri School of Journalism and majored in photojournalism. So in 1988, when I came across room temperature superconductors and cold fusion, and now I came across that crystal energy, I wanted to get into science, but I had two choices. I could then just do this as an investigation, as a journalist, or I could go back to school. And I decided to go ahead and do the journalist, because that gave me total freedom. I was not going for a grade. I wasn't going for tenure. And so basically what I do is just I ask a lot of stupid questions that you cannot do as a student. And so basically I was going for the truth versus that of the grade. And basically when you walk into some sort of science class, you have to go for the grade. You're not really seeking truth. You're seeking the grade. And there's two different things there.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, I looked at the chemical element table, and there is what's called the lanthanide series. And so I started calling. I did not take any chemistry. I was, as I said, photojournalism major. So I started calling chemistry professors and teaching assistants across the United States. And I said, why is the lanthanide group of the chemical element, why are they broken away from the main table? And I was expecting to get the same answer from every person, and I did not. I got this wide variety of all these different answers. And so they weren't even on the same page chemistry-wise. And so that gave me a lot of freedom. I'm saying, well, it seems like there's a lot of confusion here. Now, basically, I can seek a different type of truth. And I found a chemistry book dated 1901 for doctors, dentists, and nurses. And they had taken the table of elements and put them on a spiral and a circle, or actually a spiral. And then there was 20 radial lines that were going through the spiral. And every place with the curved line and the radial line crossed, they would put a chemical element. Well, in 1901, a lot of the chemical elements had not been discovered. So when I discovered this book in 1901 book, and I discovered it in 1992, most of the chemical elements had already now been found. And so as far as I know, I was the very first person to finish off this spiral table. And by finishing it off, then that I could see the pattern of harmonics and the repetitive type of patterns that are not really in, they're somewhat in the Mendeleev table, the normal table, but not like they are in the spiral table. And that's where, again, you take your lanthanide group and you put them in there. It all fits in a very, very rhythmic type of pattern. And from there, then, I was able to come up with various types of electromagnetic fields and geometric patterns and that type of thing. And that's what the Trivortex chamber is, has these electromagnetic patterns inside of it. And one of the key things I was looking for then was a pattern. Show me a pattern here. I wanted to discover and show me a pattern that our per se dimension has to work on, and then there has to be variations of that. And that had to do then when I came across the research of two individuals into the Great Pyramid of Egypt. And they discovered, it was not they, but somebody else discovered at the turn of the century when they created the airplane, is the first flights over the Great Pyramid, they noticed that the walls of the Great Pyramid are slightly indented. So they did some experiments with lasers and that type of thing on a scale model, and they discovered that light beams that were done with a laser would go directly into the King's Chamber area when the walls were slightly pushed in. So the Great Pyramid is actually a prism. So I started working my own thing when I discovered this with a program called AutoCAD and created patterns on pieces of paper, but I found if I put it all on one piece of paper, it didn't work. And so I found a pattern where I would put a little bit of the graphic on a separate piece of paper. And I ended up with a stack of papers like an inch thick. And then I took a glass of juice and a glass of wine, and lo and behold, I put it above the stack of papers, and it changed the taste of the liquid in the wine. It was just amazing. Just the stack of papers were doing this, and I found out if I put a dome on it, it would actually increase the power of it. About that same time, I came across a program called Cool Edit Pro. And what it did was be able to break down frequencies and to a very minute types of patterns. Before, there was a thing called signal generators, and you couldn't do anything with them. And about the same time I'm doing all these things with the geometry on paper, I discovered this Cool Edit Pro, and that gives you the phase, you can do the amplitude, you can do the frequency, and you have this really minute type of control over everything. So I took the values of what I was doing in this AutoCAD and these geometry, and I moved it over to the harmonic frequencies, and got my speakers out, got my things all set up, and put my wine and juice in between there, and lo and behold, it changed the taste simply by the signals. And so one day, I don't know how still it happened, but the speaker wire came disconnected. So it went from the computer to the amplifier, down the wire to the speaker, and somehow the speakers became disconnected, and I still don't know how that happened to this day, but as I was doing the experiment, it worked, and actually even worked better with just the wire. That electromagnetic pattern coming down the wire worked better than it was with the speakers acoustically. So that was the whole basis then of the Tri-Vortex chamber. You can see this picture of that up on the Tri-Vortex website. So on both sides of this tube are these antennas, and then there's domes on both sides. And so any substance that goes into the Tri-Vortex treatment chamber, when it comes out, it has all these unique type of characteristics, including what happens is if you put vitamins and nutrients in there, you've excited the light particles. And I had a knee injury back in 2000. Back in 1984, I did underwater television productions for years, and I was hired by the ABC to do the 1984 Olympics and the windsurfing yachting segments, and I had my underwater housing, but I put it on a float, and there was a catamaran that came along and put its daggerboard up, and I followed it right. The daggerboard was only about a foot away from my dome of my camera, and it ended up being a major segment that was used all throughout the 84 Olympics. That same pilot then came back and we did it one more time, not during the race, but over in a different bay. We forgot about the bottom daggerboard. The bottom daggerboard then came along and clobbered my leg, and I thought I lost it. I mean, it was really, really bad. This was 1984. Mm-hmm. In 2004, my knee was giving me a tremendous amount of problems. And I was using my Tri-Vortex disc, and I was using all my stuff, and nothing seemed to work. So what I did then is I started doing the research, and I found out that hyaluronic acid is the key element between the bone and the cartilage. And this substance, though, called hyaluronic acid, they've actually taken needles and put them into joints, and it actually does a lot of pain relief for people. But mm-hmm. As soon as they pull the needle out, it doesn't work anymore, and you can't do it orally because hyaluronic acid is destroyed by the digestive juices. So what I did is I took a tablet of hyaluronic acid and I put it on my knee, left it there for 24 hours, and of course did nothing happen. And then, because I was still at the point where I could barely even walk, I couldn't even play my full court basketball, never really walked, and I was really frustrated by it. And so then I took that same tablet of hyaluronic acid and I put it in the trivortex chamber. Then I brought that hyaluronic acid out, that tablet, and I put it on my knee. And it's, again, one of those things, like when I did the stack of papers and got the wine, it was the same thing. It was this big aha moment, is that the pain in my knee was almost 90% gone within about 5 or 10 minutes. And literally what happened is I did light particle assimilation. The trivortex chamber excited the vitamins and nutrients inside of the hyaluronic acid, and when I put it against my knee, all those light particles just flooded right through that phosphorus sheath. And then started doing this thing, type of thing. So what I did then is I took a little bit of the hyaluronic acid and I put it in a baggie and I just started wearing it over my chest. After the 20th day, the 10th day, I pulled off the hyaluronic acid on my knee and it still was sore and it still had a little bit of pain. But after about the 20th day, I then pulled it off my knee, and since that time, I've never had any problems. This was now 2006. And I've never had a problem with that knee ever again, because now it always has hyaluronic acid. What happened is when I put it on my chest, the light particles, what I consider was happening, is the light particles built up in the electromagnetic fields of my body, and if the cell needed a particular vitamin and nutrient, such as hyaluronic acid, it pulls it, and if it doesn't need it, it just leaves it in the electromagnetic fields. I then put a power pack, a whole bunch of things in it. I call it the Tri-Vibes. One of my distributors out of Phoenix was one of my first persons to buy the Tri-Vibes, and she started wearing the Tri-Vibes. Or actually, at one point, you wore it on your wrist. And so she's wearing her wrist there, and she's now recovering from ovarian cancer. And she's in remission, but not, I think, because of Tri-Vortex. So her doctor wants her to do a blood test called SpectraCell. And so she goes in for her test, and they do this various levels of all your vitamins and nutrients. It's a very sensitive type of test. And the SpectraCell calls the doctor and says, you need to pull this patient in immediately. They have, now they're overdosing. They're probably doing 3 or 4 times a day. When we see a mineral count like this, they're probably taking 4 or 5 times a day, well, big, massive doses of minerals. So the doctor pulls in my distributor, starts shaking her finger and say, you got to stop taking all these vitamin nutrients all the time. They're not doing you good. They're going to shut down your kidney and bladder. And my distributor is sitting there listening to the doctor and said, well, doctor, there's a problem with that. I've never taken a vitamin or nutrient ever in my life, but I'm wearing these Tri-Vibes. And so that was then the beginning of that we knew something that was really going on with the Tri-Vibes. We then had my business partner is a medical doctor, and he did a clinical trial, and we did 20 people. We gave 10 people a placebo Tri-Vibes, and we gave 20 people the real thing. And then we did, everybody took a SpectraCell test. And we got our baselines on everybody. We also had a 21st person who was his father, who was a diabetic. And so when all the things, everything came back, then we now had all the everybody's levels. And then everybody put on their either placebo amulet or they put on the real thing. 40 days later, we did another SpectraCell test. And the group that had the real thing, statistically, they shot up. They were almost below deficient or non-deficient. And the other group that was in the placebo, they then stayed about the same. However, there was a small amount of them that everybody shot up on their vitamin Bs, but never anything sufficient. But it was statistically enough that we had to take notice of the vitamin Bs going up. And what I did is my placebo, I used flour, and I used the amulet that was treated in the Tri-Vortex chamber. But then I just put plain flour, thinking, well, this is inert. It's not, doesn't have any vitamins and nutrients. And it turns out we were scratching our heads, why are these vitamin Bs going up? And I called a friend of mine, a lawyer out of Texas, was telling this, and he started laughing. He said, look, he said, by federal law, all flour has to be vitamin B enriched. He said, but what they do is they put, you know, like, my, you know, homeopathic levels. So he said, you know, this is kind of significant. The Bs went up. So what we have now is what's called the tri-vibes. It sounds like science fiction, but you can actually wear your vitamins and nutrients. And it works very well hand and fist, hand and glove, right with the Tri-Vortex disc. So if you have any type of, like, a joint problem, you would put the disc on one side and you put the tri-vibes on another and wrap it around with a ace wrap or some sort of holder type thing there, you know, a knee wrap or something like that. And it works really, really well. So it also works very, very good for pain of all any sort. So, again, we were talking about before where you're actually taking these rocks.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think everybody should have that opportunity. I don't think that there's a thing called Codex Alimentarius that's now sitting there like a big, huge cloud, and it's already implemented in Europe where basically when you get a certain level on your vitamins and nutrients, you cannot go to the store anymore. You have to go to your doctor to get these vitamins and nutrients. And we've been protected here because of numerous national legislations protecting the whole supplemental industry. But by one stroke of the pen, like this TPP partnership that's coming up and the other types of things by treaties, they could very easily sign a treaty, and then this Codex Alimentarius could be implemented on the United States overnight without any type of oversight or anything, any opposition whatsoever. That was also my motivation for the Tri-Vibes, is that if Codex Alimentarius ever does come into effect, then we have a now a, people can go to do something else. They have another opportunity. They have another option.
Yeah.
So whether you be taking, my question always is if you're taking a lot of vitamins and nutrients, do you know how much you're absorbing every day? You can never know that because of environmental types of things, your emotions, that type of thing, and you really don't know. And so that's where, again, the Tri-Vibes have come in. If you wore them, then basically you could now supplement on those days because you've already proven it through other testing and that type of thing,
right,
that you will get the vitamins and nutrients. If you're not, if you don't take vitamins and nutrients, which is for myself, I don't like taking them, is the Tri-Vibes is like a godsend. You say, wow, you just wear your vitamins and nutrients.
Yeah.
Also, too, is I forgot to tell you about that diabetic that we had. It was actually the father of my business partner, and the diabetic had 7 deficiencies. You would expect that in a diabetic to have that many vitamin and nutrient deficiencies. At the end of the 40 days, he had no deficiencies. And this blows away SpectraCell because it was developed at the University of Texas, the specific type of blood test, and it's a very special type of manner. It was controversial, but now it's being accepted. And what they say is that when you do an oral regimen of vitamins and nutrients, and you start, you have all these whatever you may have in deficiencies, no matter what they are, if had the same individual with the 7 deficiencies, diabetic, had done a oral regime, it would have taken 6 to 9 months to get up to non-deficient levels. And here we're doing it in 40 days. And this is what I call now light particle assimilation, because we're talking about everything being light particles. Well, we break everything down in light particles with the Tri-Vortex treatment chamber, and then when you wear the vitamins and nutrients, they build in your electromagnetic fields. If your vitamin and nutrient, or if your if you need a particular vitamin and nutrient, you just pull it off the electromagnetic fields. If you don't need it, it's not used. I also want to go back and clarify too, is that the lady that was the original tester of this that went to the doctor and shaking her finger at her, they did a kidney and bladder test, and she was totally clear. So basically, Linus Pauling said that if the body is under stress, it will pull in a lot of vitamins and nutrients. And so that's what this woman with the cancer, she was now in this stress mode. And so basically, the Tri-Vibes were there and just supplied everything that she needed in that stress type of thing. And again, when she went in for the testing, it looked like she was basically overdosing, but no, she was just basically responding to the stress that her body needed those minerals, vitamins, and nutrients, and did it very safely.
Exactly.
No contraindications, etc. So another thing, that's basically go up on the tribal website and look at the Tri-Vibes. So we have again, two different models. We have a gold-plated, and we have a stainless steel, and we also have a pouch.
Mm-hmm.
So we have one that's for a budget, and one of it more, basically, again, that Ferrari, Cadillac type
sure.
level.
Yeah. Well, Brian David Anderson, I want to thank you so much for sharing your time with us. Before we let you go, a couple of things. A reminder to our listeners, you can go to trivortex.com. That's TRIVORTEX.com to find out more about what we've been talking about here on the program. Secondly, I want to invite you, if you should ever find yourself in the Santa Barbara area, we'd love to continue this conversation in studio. So we certainly want to extend that invitation to you. And then,
okay, well, thank you very much.
You bet. And thirdly, I have three questions to wrap up the program. And again, thank you so much for taking so much time with us. First question is, who is Brian David Anderson?
As I said earlier before, I'm a photojournalist by training, worked for newspapers. I was also a jock in high school and played basketball. And I continued to play basketball over the years and then made my conversion from journalism. I was doing underwater television productions. I became an independent inventor, researcher, and scientist. And just basically one of those guys out there trying to find the truth, and it's a very offbeat type of manner, but nevertheless trying to seek out the truth of our reality.
And what is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
Well, provide our species and any other, also animals and plants, a very inexpensive and yet a very effective way for health and vitality.
And what is your life's purpose?
Life purpose, besides being a pain in the rear end for a lot of other people, purpose. Well, basically is, again, I live for that aha moment, and then when those aha moments happens, then there's going to be a benefit for the planet, for the humans, and for all life forms on Earth.
Well, Brian, well, thank you again for joining us on the program, and much success to you, and we will encourage people to check out the website. We'll put the link up on our site as well as the interview and have people listen to it. And again, thank you so much for joining us.
Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
You bet. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love Talal.